So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
There are too many guns on the street. We lose 93 million Americans a day to gun violence.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Hey, folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. Got a couple things I'm going to go over with you on this show, including the continued shutdown of the government because Donald Trump has refused to cave to the Democrats. God bless him. Hope he continues to do that. I feel confident that he will, even though there are some conservatives who are already talking about trying to pull the rug out from under his feet, but I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I'm going to talk about the continued situation regarding the U.S. border and about some brash new representatives who were very swiftly taught a lesson for acting like the actual dumbasses that they are. But before I get into that, I just want to bring up something real quick. I've had a couple emails over the years about the way I say KKK radio. And I got one the other day, so I just want to bring you up to speed on that. It harkens back to 1982, I believe, to Death Wish 2, starring Charles Bronson. And it involves this particular scene. See if something sounds a little familiar to you.
Say, Fred, where do you get these monitors?
Oh, we adapt them ourselves. Lots of people do.
Happen to have a spare one lying around?
There was one that we were going to get rid of. Here, we got better ones now, but this one still works pretty well. A gift from KABC Radio.
Huh. Let's hear that again. Just a quick comparison here.
KABC Radio.
KKK Radio. Somehow, after all these years, folks, that line just stuck with me, and so now you know where it comes from. Love that movie, by the way. One of my top five films, I think. Definitely my most favorite of the Death Wish movies. And you know, the ironic thing is, you know, when you're a kid, you see these things, because I was a young teenager when that came out. And of course, you have that very classic scene where Robin Sherwood bails out the window and impales herself on the fence. And who would have thought at the age of 13 that one day, being an adult and becoming an actor, that I would actually get to talk to her, which I have. Haven't actually met her, but we used to speak quite frequently on the internet. It's one of those things you just never know when you're a kid. And the same thing happened watching the movie The Wraith. Who knew when that movie came out in 1986 that one day I would actually get to do a scene with one of the stars from that movie? Just really cool when things like that pan out. But before I get too much off topic here, let me get back to the topic at hand here on KKK Radio. And that will be starting out with the lesson that our first Muslim Congress Muslim, our first Congress Satanist, I guess. Anyway, our first Islamic Congress thing. I'll tell you, folks, we got some real winners this time around. Not only do we have this Muslim in there calling Donald Trump an MF-er, and you're very familiar with the story by now, I'm sure, but I'm going to go over it because there are some things that I need to expand upon. Not only that, we have the first bisexual person elected, and that was, what was her name, Movie House? Oh, Cinema, yeah. Anyway, I tell you, just that the freaks are coming out of the woodwork. They really are. And I know that the progressives are electing the ones that they feel are going to portray them in a better light, just as we are going for the candidates that support Trump and reflect his views. So we're getting very polarized in both the House and the Senate with these new Congress people who are coming in. There's very little middle ground anymore. And what middle ground is left is very quickly turning into something very soft and slushy along sand or quagmire. But it's not going to be middle ground for very long. And once that's gone, then you're really going to see everything flare up. And I really look forward to that because this has been a long time in coming, folks. We have been fighting a cold civil war for the past several years, and this just escalates it. They're going to keep pushing, and they're going to keep pushing, and they're going to keep pushing, just like the Russians pushed us. Now, we never went after the Russians. We should have, because they didn't have anything close to what we thought they had. We had everything that they thought we had and more. Same thing we're looking at right now with the Democrats. They're pushing us, they're pushing us, and they're pushing us. They're bluffing. We're not. And if they make the mistake of impeaching Trump, it is going to be a bloodbath. There's already two morons out there who have drafted articles of impeachment. And again, this Muslim moron was talking about impeaching him. And she, of course, has been rebuked by this, which I will get into more detail as we continue further into the show. But it's getting to the point now where even people like Nancy Pelosi are beginning to understand the hole that they have dug themselves into and just how dangerous it is for them to be in that hole, because the walls can very easily collapse around them and snuff them out once and for all. Now I'll get back to how badly the Democrats are actually screwing up a little bit later on in the show. Right now I want to talk to you about the wall, Trump's wall, the border, everything revolving around that particular issue, because again, we're still shut down. And as I said before, I just pray that Trump does not cave on this, because if he makes any concessions whatsoever, Pelosi and the other Democratic ilk are going to say he caved. He cannot give in to this. It's only $5 billion. Now, in the meantime, we have the Democrats, who obviously don't want a wall because they want the illegals to come in and get made into citizens and vote for them, or to vote illegally as dead people, or the same way that they do it all the time. They want these illegals coming over here to vote illegally in support of the Democratic Party. So they don't want the wall. It's got nothing to do with funding. Because years ago, I'm trying to think, it was during Obama's presidency, the Democrats voted for funding for the wall. So it's not about that. It's all about opposing Donald Trump and getting those votes. But their whole rationalization on this is absolutely ludicrous. They're saying, oh, we have border checkpoints. Let's just use those. Okay. So what you have is a couple of doors, basically, along the border. Tijuana, Gringo Pass, Ciudad Juarez in El Paso, What's the one? The other one in Arizona, Nogales. So you have these legitimate border crossing checkpoints. Okay, what's on either side of them? Cattle fence. Three strands of barbed wire. That's it. And in some places, absolutely nothing at all along the Rio Grande. So essentially what you're doing is you are erecting a set of doors without building walls for your house. What kind of a moron does that? Who builds their doors and their windows and never puts up walls or a roof? Absolutely nobody. But that's essentially what the Democrats are suggesting that we do. I mean, how ludicrous is that? I mean, do they really think the American public is going to fall for that? No, we're not. We all know exactly what they're doing. And the pressure is now being applied. The screws are slowly turning here, folks. Believe me. Trump's going to get his wall. I'm not sure exactly how this is going to go down, but he's going to hold out to the point where the Democratic constituents are going to be emailing their representatives to get the money to fund this portion of the bill for the wall. It's going to happen. We need this wall. Every country around the world, except for us, for the most part, has some sort of a wall if they are adjacent to someone who's trying to sneak across. Walls do work. Ask the Chinese. Ask the Israelis. Ask these Germans. Walls work. They are not outdated. Now, yes, we can add technology to a wall to make it even better, and that would be installing video cameras, releasing drones, and having drone patrols routinely, and sound sensors, motion detection. That's going to make the wall even better. But on its own, technology is not going to do crap because people are still going to be able to come through. Now, let me tell you what we got coming across the border. Not only do we have the people who want to come here and hang our drywall and cut our grass, I mean, we have hardened criminals who are coming here. They're starting MS-13 gangs. They're fleeing prosecution in their countries. They're coming here. These are people who have already raped, killed, sold drugs, you name it. We also have radical Islamists coming across our southern borders, folks. They're not flying here on jetliners landing in New York, Chicago, LA, and Atlanta. They're coming across the southern borders just like the Mexicans and the Guatemalans and the Hondurans and everyone else who's coming here illegally. They have found a way to get into this country without being detected, and that is through the southern border. And that is why it is even more important that we secure those borders. Muslim prayer rugs have been found out in the desert along our southern border in Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. But now let me just add to this. While it is said that prayer rugs have been found, not all of them may have actually been Muslim prayer mugs. I'm sorry, Muslim prayer rugs. You see, there are certain individuals across the desert that are called carpet walkers. Now, I have the privilege of having a friend who actually was on the Border Patrol for a number of years, and he told me exactly how these people operate and cross through the desert. They will tie these pieces of carpet around their shoes so they don't leave definitive footprints, and they also carry these little pieces of carpet with them that are about the same size as a Muslim prayer rug, ironically, and they walk single file. And when they get to an arroyo or a wash or a dirt road, the one in front will take his piece of carpet and put it down on the ground. He'll step on it. The guy behind him will give him his carpet, which he will then lay down in front of him and step on it. And it continues all the way across the road till they get to the other side and they all get their pieces of carpet back. So I'm sure that from time to time, when they've been surprised and they've bailed, they've lost some of their pieces of carpeting, which could theoretically be misinterpreted as Muslim prayer rugs. But it was very, very interesting to listen to this guy. We had lunch one day, and he told me about a lot of the missions that he went on along the border and what he got into and what they would actually do and how they would split, and they would have people who would actually lure them away from the main group. It was incredible what they do. They've got this down to a science, folks. They've been doing it for so long. I mean, they know what they're doing. And that's why it's so hard to battle them without a wall. We need the wall to keep them out. Prisons have walls for a reason. I mean, that's the simplest logic right there. Would you build a prison without walls? No. Why? Because it wouldn't work. Now, yes, I have been to minimum security facilities where the walls are literally painted on the concrete in yellow paint. Cross the yellow line, and you've technically broken out of prison. But for the most part, prisons have at least fences, if not walls, or a combination of both. And that's exactly what we need. We need a wall, or a set of fences, or a combination of the two. Preferably, two walls, just like they had around Berlin and across East Germany from West Germany. Two walls with a couple hundred feet of open dirt in there, strewn with landmines, and towers every half mile to shoot anything that didn't get blown up by the landmines. That's the only way we're going to keep these people out of our country. They want to come here. They need to go through the checkpoints. They need to do it legally. And if they come through on visas, they need to be watched. And they need to report regularly. And there needs to be a way to keep tabs on any immigrant who comes into this country while they're here, if they're here on a visa, so that if they do let their visa expire and stay here illegally, which is how the majority of them have actually stayed here, that there's a way to find them. Now, personally, I think that anyone who comes over here for an extended period of time, who's on a visa, I'm not just saying to visit for a week or two, but someone who's going to be here for an extended period of time from a country who is known to have illegals, so we're not talking about India, we're not talking about Sweden, we're talking predominantly these Muslim countries and these South American countries. When those people come in, they need to be microchipped so that they can be followed. We do it to our pets. And folks, don't think that microchips don't do more than just identify you. They can be traced. For at least the past 15 years, Canada has required that every exotic animal be microchipped so that if it escapes, they can find it. So don't listen to what Big Brother is telling you about microchips and how harmless they are and how we should be microchipped. We as American citizens should not. But anyone coming into this country, yeah. Let's chip them. Let's keep tabs on them. Let's find out who they are and where they go and what they're up to. And if their visa expires within 24 hours, we track them down and we send them back where they came from. Now, George has a good idea, too. And he said it would save a lot of money. What is this? You say it's a good idea. It's going to save us billions of dollars on the wall? Oh, yeah. George says we don't even need to build a fence along the Texas border where the Rio Grande acts as the border. All we need to do is stock the Rio Grande with Nile crocodiles, and that will stop the wetbacks from coming through. I like it, George. Well, I gotta take a little break here, folks. I'll be back in a couple minutes to come back with the second half, talking about the hole that these Democrats are digging for themselves now that they have these freshmen out there who don't know how to keep their mouths shut.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
Georgetown Law Professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. So I want to talk now about this foul-mouthed Muslim, and you know full well who I'm talking about here, folks. You've heard this, I'm sure, by now. In the event that you haven't, newly elected Representative Rashida Tlaib called the President of our United States an MF-er and threatened to have him impeached. Now, she, of course, got a lot of backlash for this, and she was quoted as saying, "It's been pretty intense." And she reported this to the Associated Press in a brief interview this past Friday. And, well, yeah, it's been pretty intense. To say something like that your first day on the job, do you not expect backlash? Not only from the Republican Party, but she's gotten a ton of it from the Democrats as well, as well as a chewing out from Nancy Pelosi. But, I mean, this whole thing here, we're going to impeach the MF-er. I mean, that's just childish. Now, obviously, she was playing up to the crowd. She was entertaining MoveOn.org, and we all know who those are. But it just, it boggles the mind what these people think they can say and do and think they can get away with it. Now, the House Judiciary Committee Chairman, Gerald Nadler, who's a Democrat from New York, said during a CNN interview that his committee would be the one to begin impeachment proceedings should they occur. So he says that I disagree with what she said. And he went on to say, it's too early to talk about that intelligently. We have to follow the facts. Exactly, Gerald. And there are no facts. Now, a lot of these newcomers will make mistakes. I mean, everybody makes mistakes when they first start out. But this one really takes the cake. So by going after Tlaib and rebuking her, a lot of the more seasoned Democrats were just kind of telling these new guys, hey, look, you know, tone it down, go with the flow. And in fact, Representative Jan Schakowsky, who's a Democrat from Illinois, said, I think some of our new members probably don't realize that you're always on, that when you're a member of Congress, there's always someone listening. Yeah, no kidding. And she went on to say that she hopes that Tlaib's remarks aren't news for long. Well, I certainly hope they are. I hope this thing stays in the news, and I hope everyone keeps being reminded of what these people's intentions are. But the curious thing here is it wasn't just her profanity that really set everyone off. It was actually her wanting to impeach Trump that really drew the disapproval from her colleagues. I mean, like I said, Nancy Pelosi is trying to do what she can to keep everybody from seeing through her. And she had kind of warned everybody to stay on focus on the policies that the candidates had promised ahead of the November elections. Now, she said the timing chafed with everything, just hours before congressional leaders were headed to the White House to try and resolve the standoff over the border wall that Trump is demanding in exchange for reopening the government. And Republicans pounced on this, folks, and they used this occasion to question the Democrats' true priorities and Pelosi's leadership. Well, yeah, I mean, this is obvious. This is exactly the same thing that Pelosi has in mind and what she wants. It's just that this young idiot actually was dumb enough to say it. So Pelosi just kind of had this little tight-lipped smile, and she rejected the profanity and her vow to impeach the president. That is not the position of the House Democratic Caucus, she said. I don't think we should make a big deal of it. Yeah, Nancy, we should. In fact, Representative Jerry Connolly, who's a Democrat from Virginia, served up a reminder to the new members that seniority rules in Congress. Yeah. She's a freshman. It's her first day here, he said. She went in front of an enthusiastic crowd of her supporters, and it was red meat for them. She yielded to that temptation. And she's going to continue to do this, folks. So are these new ones. They are so full of piss and vinegar, they are not going to stop and think about what they're saying. Now, he goes on to say, I'm sure open reflection, she might choose other words to describe her feelings. Oh, I'm sorry, upon reflection, she might choose other words to describe her feelings. I don't think so. I think this is really what they feel, and they're not ashamed to say it anymore. In the meantime, talk of impeachment remains in the air, and it's been fueled by a handful of Democrats on Pelosi's left flank. They're still pressuring her to more aggressively pursue this issue. But these proceedings appear unlikely for now, and this isn't helping it either. So even if the White House did advance any articles of impeachment, folks, a two-thirds majority vote to convict Trump in the Republican-controlled Senate and remove him from office would be completely out of the question. I mean, unless something just comes from out of left field. I mean, there's just nothing there. It's not going to go anywhere. But if they do try this, and again, I hope they do, it is going to actually reveal just who is in favor of this and where they stand. And let's not forget, folks, that there is a formal ex-Navy SEAL out there who has promised that ex-Navy SEALs and other special forces will go after these people if they try and impeach Trump. So I really, really hope they're dumb enough to try this. But this idiot, Tlaib, look, she's not the only one who seems to be getting a lesson on how one comment can just completely overturn anything on Capitol Hill. Now, some of them that are on board with her, I don't know where they're going, folks. I just really don't. I mean, you got this idiot Spannenberger who ran on healthcare issues, which is essentially trying to reinstate Obamacare and socialize medicine that we are so determined to upend and overturn. And you got this idiot Muslim who actually spoke what was on her mind. Now, this is on everybody's mind. She was just dumb enough to actually say it. But she at least gave away their hand. She tipped their hand. This is what the progressives have planned, folks. And don't think it's going to stop with the impeachment of Trump if they were actually successful in that and did manage to get him convicted. Like I said, there would be an absolute bloodbath. But their end game goes far beyond this. It's to get rid of Republicans from public office forever. That's an open declaration of war against conservatism and conservatives. And once they make the mistake, at some point, they will cross a point of no return. And when they do, they are going to wish to God that they had never made that mistake. I can promise you, folks, it won't take very long, and it will be Night of the Long Knives on steroids. So think about that until next week, because my time is up for now. And as always, if you want to get in touch with me, you may do so by emailing me at TommyFreedomRings. If there's something you want me to cover on the show, a question you want me to address, if you've got an upcoming event that you want me to get out there so that our fellow brothers and sisters can attend that event and get to meet you guys, just shoot me an email and let me know, and I'll be glad to get that information on the air and out to everyone. So for now, This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Until next week, my friends, stay safe, stay free, and most importantly, stay alive. Out for now.